What are you looking for? It is with these words that Jesus addressed the two disciples, but it is also with these words that Jesus addresses us. Because in John's characteristic style, the questions Jesus asks are not just for his disciples, but for everyone who's hearing the book be proclaimed. And so the question stands before us, what are you looking for? Now many of us may not have actually taken the time to explore this question, because this question requires us to explore the depths of our hearts and minds, to look at our desires, our hopes, our dreams, and to then figure out the question, what am I looking for? And so in that way, since this might be tough or troubling for us, I have some examples from today's readings to help us understand what it's like to be looking for something, what it's like to ponder the depths of our hearts and understand what we truly want. So the first one comes from our first reading, and that's Samuel, the prophet. So we like to think of Samuel in the context of this great man that knew everything. But that's not entirely true. From the moment his mother weaned him, he lived in the temple. He knew nothing but the temple sacrifices and the rituals of the temple. That's all he ever knew. So for him, it was this constant task of offering the sacrifices and helping with the priests in the temple, making sure the lamps didn't go out, making sure all the rules were followed, helping clean up after things. This was his life. And so in that life, he was used to routine and rule. Even being in the midst of God's presence, he was there in the temple where the Ark of God was. He was there with God himself. He didn't even realize it. He didn't even know what was going on because he was so used to rule and routine, he didn't really encounter God at all, which is a great challenge to us because we can easily get caught up in the things of the world where we're wandering through all the stuff in the world, all our daily tasks, all the things we need to do and whatnot, and never really ponder the question, what are you looking for? So I think if we were to ask Samuel the question, what are you looking for? He'd give us a quizzical look as though it's like, what do you mean? I just do my job. And we don't want to be like that. Because that means we have no hopes, no dreams, nothing to look forward to, nothing to excite us or to help us understand who we are. We just do our job. We need to explore it on a different level too. Now I want to turn to the disciples. Not the two disciples, but all the other disciples that surrounded John. John had lots of disciples. He had somewhere between 30 and 200. There's a lot of people who flocked to John because of what he was and what they hoped for. For them, he was Elijah. He was the coming of Elijah again with the hope of the restoration of Israel. Some were hoping for this kingly restoration where the kingship would be back and Israel would be independent once again. Some were hoping for a great military leader who would go on to conquer all the Romans and kick them out of the land. Some were looking for a great prophet who would tell them how to worship God accurately anew. So they flocked to him. They saw in him that hope, that dream, that desire. All of them were there for a reason. But only two of them left to follow after Jesus. So what about the other ones? What were they looking for? The answer is rather simple. They're looking for a cause. They're looking for something to be a part of. They're looking for the hope that came from Scripture. They're looking for a reason, a purpose in life. And it came through John. Well, in that way, we can use that as a backdrop to understanding our world as well. So many people, especially those who are protesters or rioters or whatever not, are part of a cause or a movement. They have something they want. They have something they're looking for. They have something that excites them to go do whatever it was that they did. And it's because they're looking for something. A cause, a purpose, a meaning in life, something to give themselves to. And if we're not careful, we can also be like them. Moving from ideology to ideology as whatever fits our fancy, hoping that we find in the midst of the things of the world something that catches our attention, something that makes us feel like we have meaning, something that makes us feel like I can give myself and have my life have purpose. But if we're not careful, we'll just always be wandering, never settling anywhere, never finding anything. Which leaves us with our two disciples. Now their example is very intriguing and strange. So they hear John proclaim, "Behold the Lamb of God." And what do? They follow Jesus. Without a retort, without a word, without anything else. But how do they follow him? From the scriptures, it sounds like Jesus is walking on ahead and they're kind of trailing behind him like a weird stalker. It's not really the example we want of like they rushed up to him and were like, "Here I am, I'm ready." They're a little more cautious. to the point that Jesus actually has to turn around and address them. So he turns and faces them and asks this pivotal question, what are you looking for? I think most of us assume that we'd get an answer. I'm looking for the Messiah, are you him? But we don't get that. Instead, we get a second question, which helps us in some ways and hinders us in others. It means that we have to dive a little deeper to really grasp what they're looking for. They said, Rabbi, where are you staying? And the beauty of that passage is expansive in the way that we understand the Greek. It can say either, where are you staying? Where will you remain? Or where can we be in your presence? They're not looking for an ideology. They're not looking for an idea. They're not looking for a concept. They're looking for a person. They're looking for the person of the Messiah, not their idea of him. And as John develops this theme for the next 21 chapters, we get to the end and he then reiterates the question. Instead of saying, what are you looking for? He changes it around and says, whom are you looking for? Which is exactly what the disciples were looking for. They're not looking for what, they're looking for whom. A person. A person they can remain with, be in their presence. And so, after making their question, where are you staying? Jesus gives them an invitation. Come and you will see. And so they stayed with him all that evening. They stayed in his presence. They listened to him speak. They heard his words. They felt his presence being with them, which is what they wanted. They wanted to be with the Messiah, not to assume the Messiah. And they got what they were looking for. They found him. Which leaves us in a particular place. What are we looking for? Are we looking for hope, dreams, aspirations, rest, work, leisure? What is it we're looking for? If you want some help in your discoveries, here's a good test. What do you do first thing in the morning? If the first thing you do in the morning is you're anxious and worried and run out and rush off to the morning, that means you're concerned about the things of the day. That's what you're looking for, a way to get through the day. If the first thing you do in the morning is pray, that means God is what you're looking for. He means more than anything else. But we can turn this around. What do you do at the end of your day? I think the vast majority of us want to relax, rest, leisure, whatever. That's our goal, which means our life is centered around leisure and pleasure and relaxation. If our last thing of the day is prayer, it means that that is our highest priority. We begun and ended the day in prayer. Now keep in mind, the first commandment is also one of the hardest for us, because the first commandment says, the Lord our God is one, he alone shall you serve. The first one, there's nothing else before it, to make a point, as God is making a point in his commandments, that there's nothing above him. He is first and foremost. And if we really want to find him, if we want to seek him, if we want to know him, if we want to understand him, he has to be first, otherwise we'll miss it. And so our scriptures challenge us today to look into the depths of our hearts, look into what our desires are, our wishes, our hopes, our dreams, and ask this question, what are you looking for?